Happy Tuesday from the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. It is the wee hours, but the Sage is in full swing, looking good, wearing his Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon gear. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on. Ira, how are you after this Buccaneers game?
This game's been over for 2 hours. I'm still a little hacked off because this is a game that the Bucs could have easily won. The mood in the locker room, Lee, very simple. Self-inflicted wounds. The only thing that went off without a hitch was the Tony Dungy halftime induction, where I got to see, Sapp with his shirt unbuttoned. We got Brooks with some kind of crazy hat. Hope he doesn't wear it to my Tampa 2 thing tomorrow. Otherwise, I got to show up with some kind of funky hat. And I was talking to Simeon Rice for 20 minutes. Simeon Rice was there. Rustin Webster showed up. So that part went well, but as far as the game itself, you can't spot a pretty good team, and Pittsburgh's a pretty good team. You can't spot them a 20-point lead, Lee, and hope to come back.
First off, I hope you own a fedora.
I don't know. I might go with a yarmulke. You never know what I'm going to wear tomorrow.
You
never know, DeKemper. Don't count me out.
All right, Sage. All right. Well, we have to tell
that one stunned you at 1:30 in the morning over there. Dave, that's not easy.
No, nothing stuns me, Sage. Look, the Big Win sales event is on at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, where you can score like the Buccaneers in the second half, zero down, zero security, and zero first payment on every new Cadillac. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. And, of course, they present all your work here at JoeBucksFan.com, Ira, all your podcasts and your columns, your 10 takeaways, which I haven't even read yet.
Haven't read them? I thought you put them out.
No.
Oh, if I knew that, I wouldn't have started the podcast over there, Lee.
You were running over here for chicken tenders. You're snapping your fingers at me. Let's go. Let's go. So, but you know what? By the time the folks read this, they will have seen your 10 takeaways. And many folks also will have visited EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon also presents all your work right there. 11020 Causeway Boulevard. So easy to get to in Brandon. Our good friends over there. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com is the website. Right now, you can pick your car and pick your payment. 2018 Cadillac CTS is Ira. Three different options to lease a CTS. And just a great pre-owned and beautiful dealership over at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. So, Ira, now the XT5 is there as well, Ira. The crossover. We love the crossover. You're a crossover kind of guy.
Love the crossover.
This game, I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee DeKemper is the other voice here. Of course, 10 times tonight you'll say Lee and Steve, so everybody knows.
That's my trademark.
That's your trademark. You know, but sometimes people get confused. You know, I think Derek Brooks got confused because he called me Lee, and I know he listens to the podcast, and I think he confused him with the Lee and Steve. He got him all confused.
Well, that's on Brooks. I mean, I'm very clear in who I'm talking to over here.
And may I compliment you on your Tampa 2 show, which runs twice a week on JoeBucksFan.com and at the Identity Tampa Bay. It's going very well. I think you guys are loosening up. I see it's going longer. I got some great feedback tonight on the show, and you guys are hitting your stride.
I think we're having fun. And you know, when you do that, like we do on this podcast, I think it shows. I think it's obvious to the listeners. You know, don't take yourself too seriously. Try to get some good information out there, but make it entertaining as well.
Only thing I take seriously is beer and food.
There you go, Lee. Now, you're going to Chicago.
I am.
And you're going to catch a Cardinal game along the way.
Yeah, well, I'm going to demonstrate to people how when football reporters, when you're on a beat, it could be a football beat, it could be a baseball beat, what have you, you get so entrenched and you live and eat and breathe it so much. And here I am, a Cardinals fan. I got to admit, I haven't watched it, and I have MLB, the cable service, you know, the online service. I haven't watched a game since training camp because it's my job. And I'm sitting there, a buddy of mine from Chicago, I text him, say, I'll be in Thursday night. He texts back, he goes, hey, you want to go see the Cardinals up at Wrigley? I forgot all about it. Their postseason may be online at Wrigley, and I haven't been to Wrigley, you'll like this, since the day Joe Torre was fired as the Cardinals manager.
Memorable.
A college buddy of mine, a White Sox fan no less, got me second row tickets behind the plate at Wrigley, 84 degrees, sunshine, Cardinals, Cubs. That's a done game back.
You're living large.
And I think it was a month later they hired Tony La Russa, or at the season was over, they hired Tony La Russa.
And the rest is history.
But now, that shows how involved I am with covering the Bucks. I didn't even know the Cardinals were up at Wrigley, and I'm going to be in Chicago. So, yes, Friday I'm going to go to a game.
While the Kemper's cavorting over there in Wrigley, you and I are going to try to buddy up to Jameis Winston over here. Steve, what I didn't like about this game, I didn't like a lot of things about this game, but most of all, I think they were out-physicaled. I think they lost the battle of the trenches, which they did not do the first 2 weeks. I thought Pittsburgh put more pressure on Fitzpatrick than they did on Roethlisberger. Fitzpatrick took a beating. He took a beating. And he's a warrior. He stood tall, but he got hit a lot. He had to run five times. He didn't have those clean pockets that we were used to against the Saints and Eagles, Steve.
No, not at all. He took quite a beating, and my opinion, Ira, is that the Steelers came out here and said, you know what? Mike Tomlin got these guys together. He didn't pull a Sean Payton with the bounty gate, but he got these guys together and said, you know what? A couple of late hits on Fitzpatrick. I want to rattle him. Let's get him rattled. Let's go to his head. Whatever you got to do, we'll take a couple of penalties, and we think we can rattle this guy into screwing up. And frankly, I think that's what happened. They were hitting late all over the field. Mike Evans shoved it, you know, way out of bounds, hitting Fitzpatrick in the head multiple times. Referees missed a couple of calls as well. And they got to him, and he melted down like chocolate on a summer day, man.
Lee, the Steelers are known as one of the more physical teams in football. That's one of their identities. By the way, we'll talk about the fans. I mean, it was incredible how many Pittsburgh fans were out here. I continue to be absolutely alarmed by it. But, Lee, anybody who says the Bucs got zero breaks Monday night, they're crazy. For example, Pittsburgh's kicker had a bad night. 155 yards and penalties. In that respect, it reminded me a little bit about that crazy game against Oakland at home a couple of years ago. They managed to lose when Oakland set an NFL record. It was like 23, 24 penalties. The Bucs lost the game. I think it was overtime, but they lost. Derek Carr went crazy, threw over 500 yards.
Blew a coverage.
Yeah.
Turned out to be the winning touchdown.
So they got their share of breaks tonight, but they couldn't capitalize. And silly mistake. That Isaiah Johnson penalty with the DeSean Jackson. That's a killer.
They did score a touchdown on that drive, though, did they not?
Yeah.
But I like you. That was sickening.
But it would have been quick. It would have been a quick score.
Yeah, they needed the time.
Yeah, they needed the time. But yeah, I mean, like it wasn't like a complete waste. I see what you're saying, yeah. Isaiah Thomas, you know, everybody rips to this day Dan Orlowski from stepping out of bounds and trying to throw a pass when he played for the Detroit Lions. Well, this dude tried to run to Brandon like he didn't know the stands were there, like he was at some cheap high school or something. Kaboom! He hits the wall. You know, it's like, speaking of Wrigley Field, I saw Herm Winningham, left fielder for the Reds. Wrigley Field has what, about 3 feet past the foul line? It's a brick wall. And this guy was on a dead run chasing a ball down the line, smashes into the wall. He spread eagled out like a fish on the field, and Harry Carey, it appears he ran into the wall. Meanwhile, the guy's dead. But yeah, that's what it reminded me of. I was running into the wall at the end. I mean, I'm glad he's okay. I saw him in the locker room. He was slow, but he talk about embarrassing yourself.
Steve, the prevailing wisdom from what I saw, and I talked to about seven guys, is we beat ourselves. We absolutely beat ourselves. We're the better team, Dotson said. With all due respect to Pittsburgh, we're better. We should have won. That's usually what losers say in a close loss. It is. But the fact is, you're not going to come back from 20-point deficits very often against a desperate team on the other side. Pittsburgh did just enough to win.
Steve, yeah.
Buck showed some grit, but a little short.
Really bizarre game, Ira. I mean, I don't even think it gets more bizarre than this. I happen to be sitting in a suite for the first half, open air.
Did you bring me some lobster rolls or anything out of
it? No, I actually didn't even eat anything there. I was into the game, Ira. I just had some water and some chips. But, you know, open air. And we sit in a closed press box where you still hear plenty, but not like that. That crowd for the Steelers was ridiculously loud.
Yes.
You got Fitzpatrick going to a silent count early. There had to be at least 22,000 Steelers fans here. I mean, yeah, that was ugly look, and the towels were out. But and then you go to the game itself, and Fitzpatrick melts down, you know, like it's crazy. But then somehow the Bucs defense shuts out the Steelers in the second half, and Fitzpatrick played really in the second half as just about as well as he's played in the previous two games.
Pittsburgh's defense might have softened a little bit with a 20-point lead. It might have.
It might have. I mean, and the Bucs can't run the ball again. Can't run the ball again.
Well, they lost their balance when it was 30 to 10, Lee. That just happens. I thought Barber was fairly effective early in the game. They were running the ball fairly well. But, you know, I tweeted out that one point I think they had combined for 90 passes and 27 runs. That's the new NFL, Lee. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. If you don't have Todd, if you don't have Todd Gurley or Ezekiel Elliott, that's the way it is now.
Well,
and they don't have Le'Veon Bell, you know. So,
the Steelers, you know, the general manager's name escapes. Kevin Colbert. That guy knows how to. How many championship teams has he built? And no one ever heard of James Conner. You know, you say James Conner, you think of the Terminator, Sarah Connor. And this guy comes out, and he does a noble job. He does an okay job. He's not Le'Veon Bell. He's not Doug Martin either. He does an okay job. But speaking of running backs and the Bucks and running attacks, I went to Publix earlier today. I don't care if this ticks people off at One Buck Palace. I'm going to say it. Went to Publix today and got a milk carton. And there was Ronald Jones.
Ronald Jones was not. Face was on the milk carton?
Yeah. He's missing. Have you seen him?
Jeez. I might be inclined to dump that milk carton. It might be spoiled. Sorry, Ronald. Steve, I don't think the Bucs did a good job picking up. Pittsburgh's a heavy blitzing team. Now, they did it against Kansas City, and the Chiefs picked it up. And when you pick it up, Mahomes goes crazy. You know, there's guys running wide open all over the field. I don't think the Bucs did a very good job, especially in maybe the first three quarters, of picking up those outside blitzers. And I just don't like the pocket for Fitzpatrick tonight.
It was much better in the second half. You know, the Bucs offensive line, though, this was their worst game. Marpet struggled a bit. And, you know, Donovan Smith has a reputation of not finishing plays. And that really showed up a handful of times tonight from what I saw. Ryan Jensen, we knew, got sick before the game, so maybe he was at 80% or, you know, with a lot of humidity down there.
Steve, one other thing that Derek Brooks talks a lot about on the identity on the Tampa 2, I think it showed up tonight. Brooks said early in the season, and it's early, tackling's a major issue for most teams. Big, big issue. Gets better as the season goes on. Of course, you're in pads and you're practicing and now you're playing, but poor tackling tonight.
Oh,
poor tackling. The unbelievable stiff arm on Conte. Grimes whiffing on Antonio Brown. Now it's Antonio Brown. I understand that. In my book, he's the best receiver in football until he gets toppled by DeAndre Hopkins or Julio Jones or whatever. I think he's number one. But that's poor technique.
Be fair to Grimes. You know, he's been out of practice for how long?
Yeah,
number one.
He's working to get back in football shape.
Yeah, that's number one. Number two, he never was a physical guy. So I understand what you're saying, Ira. I don't disagree, but I'm gonna give him a pass. Now, there's one guy I'm not going to give a pass, but I'm going to say right now he should keep his starting job because he's putting up numbers. You can't ignore it. But the second quarter by Fitzpatrick, I'll just say it right now. Jameis Winston pulled the stunts he pulled in the second quarter. Jameis would need a police escort to get to his truck, much less get home. People would want to crucify him. I mean, what Fitzpatrick did just blew my mind. Now, again, he's a good guy. That shouldn't factor into it. It's how you're playing. He's playing well enough. He played good in the second half. Obviously played great in the first couple of weeks. He's playing well enough. He should be starting. He's putting up numbers. But that second quarter, that was one of the worst stretches. That was worse than Josh McCown. That was horrible. And I'll say it again. If Jameis Winston did that kind of crap, like that lollipop he threw on the 10-yard line for a pick six and a couple other picks, if Jameis did that, I just can't imagine the uproar. But because it's not Jameis, people are like, oh, Fitz, oh.
Steve, what did you pick up, if anything, from Cutter's post-game comments regarding the Fitzpatrick-Winston debate?
Well, you know, I'm gonna punt that, Eric. There's a couple other things I think we should.
You're gonna punt on the Winston Fitz.
Well, we're gonna get deeper into that because that's the big Tuesday story here, and I'm gonna wait a minute on that because I thought Lee was going somewhere else with what he was saying, and I gotta say that, you know, Chris Conte was limited in practice this week with a knee injury, and out he comes. And he didn't look like 100% out there running and doing his thing. And you know what? He lets up the big play, tries to tackle the biggest tight end in football high, and gets thrown aside like a rag doll and a huge play touchdown. And you know what? Shortly after that, he came out of the game. They said he re-aggravated his knee injury. I don't think he was healthy to begin with. I think they didn't want to go with Whitehead. And in comes Whitehead, and he plays well. They don't, you know, they got a rookie safety fourth round pick out there, and the Steelers can't score in the second half, and he's got four tackles, and he's busting things up. I hope this is the end of the Chris Conte era, because Whitehead has shown he can play. Let's go with the young athletic guys back there, and let Conte get healthy and work his way in. But I hope we have a transition here.
And a nice, speaking of safety play, Lee, a nice pick by Justin Evans.
Starting to come out. That guy's starting to make a key play every game, it seems like. He's really starting to come into his own. You know, I'm not enough of a
He's reading the plays much better.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you know what? He wasn't doing such a bad job last year. Remember his first start, he picked off Brady. Every once in a while I bring that up to him and he smiles. I would smile too. That was my first pick and my first start. You're picking off the greatest. I don't know technically if Evans is a good safety, but he's making plays. I hope people understand what I mean by that. I don't know if he's a good fundamental player. I don't know if he has the fundamentals down, like a John Lynch, for example. But I do know he makes plays and he creates turnovers. So that makes up for whatever his normal play or may not be.
We can't be gloom and doom on this podcast,
yeah,
Steve.
First place.
Because they're 2-1 off the schedule.
And
you know, you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I always said if they could figure out a way to steal a win. Well, they stole two.
You know, don't lose two in a row. That's a big thing in this league. Don't lose two in a row. You lose two in a row, there's going to be a quarterback change. If there's not one this week, then there's definitely going
to
be one.
Yeah, well, Ira is aching to talk about that quarterback change, and we're going to talk plenty about it. Ira, first, let me tell everybody, remind everybody, really, we love our loyal listeners who tune in on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, all the subscribers. Ira's still in the top 50 in the nation on Google Play. You can't get him out of there. All subjects. It's insane and ridiculous at the same time. I was talking to a major member of the media about this, a national media here tonight, who is just
dumbfounded
by all the stuff that Joe Bucks fan does. And, of course, Ira, your podcast is one of
Booger?
The more- No, not Booger.
He's national.
Yeah, he's national.
One of the more spectacular things here, Sage. FanRetreat.com.
Was it with NFL Network?
No.
She's national.
Now, Steve, what if some of these Buck fans want to go to Chicago this week? Is it too late?
No, it's not too late. They can go right to FanRetreat.com.
We call that a segue, Steve. There you go.
They can buy their airline tickets. They can book their hotels. And they can buy their game tickets. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code. Get all your event tickets, lightning, everything at fanretreat.com. Use that code. People have been using it, which is great. And Steelers fans, we invite you, since you seem to buy all the tickets here at the stadium, you can buy Steelers tickets on fanretreat.com. Great place, one-stop shop to handle all your ticket and event needs. Bette Midler's coming up, Byron. I can't wait.
That's a rough one.
All right.
Before you get into this great debate, I want to amplify something that you were saying about the Steeler fans. I mentioned this in my takeaways, but it belongs on the podcast too. I was down in the tunnel, not the tunnel where the media waits to get out for Dungy, because I know these. I've learned over the years, you go to the far tunnel, and that's where the players are gathered to come out for the halftime ceremony. So I go down to, Doc C or Doc whatever, and they're all there.
Is that where the visiting team comes in?
No, it's not with a visiting team. I think it would probably be the
Northeast corner?
The southeast corner.
Southeast corner.
Okay. So anyway, there's Warrick Dunn, and there's Rice and Brooks and Sapp and all the rest of them. And I can't see the TV. You know, I'm stuck in the tunnel, and it's near the end of the first half. And all of a sudden, I hear these thunderous cheers, loud. And you know, I turn to Simi. Hey, Bucks are coming back. They're going to make a game out of this. Then I walk about 20 feet to the TV, man. I realize the Steelers scored. It really hit home, Steve. Look, we know this is a transient place, and we know Steeler Nation travels, but this has to change. This
How are you going to change?
There's too many teams that come in here, whether it's the Giants, the Cowboys, and we see the same thing.
It's embarrassing, man. It's Monday Night Football, the home game. It's embarrassing.
You know, I mentioned this a little bit ago. And this is how, I don't know if it's because it's the sport. I don't know what it is. You know, I hope to go to that Cardinals-Cubs game Friday. I don't know if I will, but I hope to. You go to a Cubs-Cardinals game, whether it's Wrigley, whether it's Bush, 50-50. Always has been, probably always will be. And they say that's the charm of it. And here, people are like, my God, how dare Steelers fans be here? And I just, why is one sport, it's like way cool, and the other sport, it's like, oh, it's horrible.
Steve, I heard a clip, it was on a Mad Dog show today, and he does this around the NFL.
Yeah, he talks
about it. He usually does
on Mondays.
Does a clip. And so the clip was from Kansas City. Instead of being Mahomes, you know, going crazy with another three touchdowns, this one was from Andy Reid. The clip, all Andy Reid was talking about was the crowd at Arrowhead and the energy in the building and how much it helped the home team, Chiefs.
But we know.
He said it was an incredible amount of noise. It affected everybody. You're very aware of it on the sidelines. The players are aware of it. I'm not going to try to slap Buck fans around because look what they've been through for 10 years. But one day this is going to change because we were saying the same thing in 96 and it changed.
Well, it's because they won. They won consistently. But I'm going to kneel here, Ira. That wonderful home atmosphere, which they do have a wonderful home atmosphere in Kansas City. Tell me how that's helped them out in the playoffs.
Well, with Mahomes, it looks different.
But, you know,
didn't I get a tweet from you the other day saying Mahomes is incredible? It's spectacular.
He made a play Sunday, and I was watching because I have an NFL Sunday ticket. I was watching that game live because I'm a Jimmy GQ fan as well. He made a play. It was either, you pick, it was either a right-handed Steve Young or a young John Elway, where he scrambled, and rifled a pass into the end zone for a touchdown, and my jaw hit the floor. And the first thing I thought of was Steve Young. That's Steve Young. And I thought, maybe John Elway.
Looked like Sean King in 2000 over there, Steven. What's on your mind, Isbitz?
All right, Sage, look, Fitzpatrick tonight. I just, throw the damn ball away. And some of this coverage you were talking about, he held the ball too long at least two or three times. At least, right, if Jameis did this stuff on Monday Night Football, he'd be getting killed. But, you know, in many ways, it was sort of a Jameis-like game in the sense that he had a bad stretch and then he rallied everybody back and was almost there. And so, you know, I don't know. But the quarterback decision looms, and this is what Dirk Koetter said tonight, Ira. So, of course, he's at his post-game news conference, and up comes Koetter, blah, blah, blah. He gets the question, and he's asked about the next quarterback decision. Has he made his quarterback decision? What's going on? He says, quote, let's see when the injury report comes back. Which, you know, it's just, you know, adds to the soap opera, though, the comedy that is the Bucks. All the guy has to say is, I'm not talking about that tonight, guys. I'm going to talk to Jameis in a few hours, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday. But he goes to the, let's see when the injury report comes back. Then he notes that players sometimes come back with injuries the same next day. And then he says, I'd love to get a chance to talk to Jameis face-to-face before I tell the rest of the world. Tell him what? You know?
You're taking that as an interpretation that he's sticking with Fitz.
Yeah, sure. I mean, otherwise, if it was Jameis, he'd say, I love what he did, and, I've talked to Ryan, and we're going with Jameis.
Ryan's put us in a good spot at 2-1.
Could go on, or he could just simply say nothing and say, I'm going to talk to Jameis first, but he throws it out there like that. Again, I mean, I'd love to get a chance to talk to Jameis face-to-face before I tell the rest of the world. That doesn't sound like the coach is going to tell Jameis you're the guy.
Lee, does the loss and Fitzpatrick's play, particularly in the first half, give Cutter pause in what might normally have been a no-brainer, give Winston an extra week with the bye week and bring him back in Atlanta? And do you think this might cause some debate with Bajakian and Cutter and Monken about what to do at this point?
It should give Cutter pause. Because what do Jameis's critics scream about? He's a stat compiler. It's garbage time when the Bucks are way down.
Turnovers.
I mean, it was a clone of Jameis we saw here tonight. He had three turnovers. One of them was pathetic in the second quarter. Three picks. They're down 20 points in the second half. He rallies, which is like Jameis, racked up yards, got another 400 yards. It was a Jameis clone out there tonight. And again, if Jameis was out there doing that, people would be bananas. But because it's Fitz, he's our new quarterback.
Steve, doesn't the quirks of this particular schedule at this particular time play quite a bit to Fitzpatrick's favor? In terms of the Chicago game,
I don't know. Wouldn't you think so? What the hell are you asking?
I think I know. Because of the short week is what you're referring to.
Well, a short week and the bye week looming ahead. I mean, and Winston hasn't had a lot of practice.
Ira, I'm gonna take the everyman approach here. The Bucs are 2-1. They're in first place. It's a miracle. Fitzpatrick just threw for three consecutive 400-plus yard games. No one has done that in NFL history, according to the Buccaneers.
He also helped dig a 30-10 deficit.
I'm not arguing with you on that, but the guy just set an NFL record that Marino never did, and all these guys. Brian Fitzpatrick? So the fans are giving him, I think in general, a bit of a pass on tonight because of the last two games. If the Bucs were sitting here 1-2, and Fitz threw a big
it's a different discussion.
Pick for the loss in the Saints game, it would be a no-brainer.
And whenever I bring up how Jameis has thrown for more yards and has started his NFL career
outside of padded stats.
Exactly. And then Fitzpatrick's basically doing the same thing. Oh, that's great. We found our quarterback. I have nothing against Fitz. I love the guy. But it's kind of a double standard.
Steve's going to stick. And you know what? I'm not saying his bits is wrong. It's a kind of a smart way to look at it. As long as you're in first place, you know, what are you doing? I mean, you don't make a switch when you're tied for the division lead.
I have to ask you, Ira, do you know, obviously we all know DeSean Jackson went on NFL Network and then went on FS1 and reiterated what he initially said, that stick with Fitz.
Or he took a step back?
On FS1, he softened his stance, but he still said again, hey, you go with the hot hand, and Fitz is hot. And I understand that. Is he a lone wolf in the locker room, or you think there's more people
I don't think he's a lone wolf. Okay. I don't think he's a lone wolf. And, of course, his stats from the first two games, factor into that and the fact that he was so frustrated in 2017. But, I don't think he's speaking just for himself. Now, interestingly, Lee, and I think you were standing right there, towards the end when Mike Evans was talking to us tonight, and I asked the question about Winston. You know, he'll be back in the building starting midweek. And you know what Evans said, Steve? Jameis is going to bring a lot of energy to that building. That's what he does.
Fitz said the same thing.
He said he's going to bring a lot of energy. In a backup role? I mean, you know, I don't know. But we'll see. I think Cutter needs to make a definitive statement on Wednesday. I do think he needs to.
What do you refer
to
as definitive? Like you're going to start X amount of games?
No. Who's starting Chicago?
Oh, okay.
I think he needs to say it on Wednesday.
Why? Why not let the Bears, you know, scratch their heads a few extra times?
I think I know why.
Well, are you saying he'll have the decision, but he just won't announce it?
Sure.
Oh. Or you're saying don't make the decision.
You mean
the
a public statement or to the team? I mean, he's got to tell the team when they walk out to practice who the quarterback is, or even the next day.
And who's taking the most of the reps on Wednesday? You know, is also reflective of who's starting. So you're saying why tell the Bears? Why tell the Bears?
Yeah, at least publicly. But who knows what Cutter's going to do? But I guess the more important question is not what you think, Ira, even though you're the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Not what Lee thinks. Not what I think. What do you think is running through the head of Dirk Cutter with this quarterback situation? Because he is the guy holding the cards. It's his job. It's his team. He sees what Fitz has done. He's seen his offense rack it up. And he sees Fitz, even though he did what he did tonight, he still hasn't fumbled. And where's Cutter standing?
I think what's going to run through Cutter's mind, Lee, in the next 48 hours is Fitzpatrick gives us a better chance to win this particular game because he's playing at a high level. We're scoring a lot of points. And Winston is coming in cold with 2 days of practice. I think that's likely to be going through Cutter's mind. But having said that, I still think Winston's going to get that job back sooner rather than later. I do think that. And then I think they're going to be able to make a judgment about Jameis Winston, which is a big part of this season, along with making the damn playoffs. Make a judgment on how much you're willing to pay this guy and whether you want him on the team next year. I know that's going through the mind of the Glazer boys.
Well, here's something for you, and this involves the Glazer boys. It's something Ian Beckel said. I like Ian. A lot of Buck fans don't like him for whatever reason. Maybe it's because how he was so harsh on Gerald McCoy.
Is he still on that McCoy train wreck?
He softened a little bit, but he's still not a big fan of his. But at any rate, he had said on his podcast, and now, mind you, when he said this, Jameis didn't have an agent. That's another story. I have a question I could have for you. But he said, Jameis' agent, if Jameis isn't starting, Jameis' agent is going to the Glazers, if not Light. He said, I want to trade. I want out of here. This guy, and Ian said there probably isn't 20 quarterbacks in the NFL more talented than Jameis. You know, he may be struggling on the field, but he's that talented.
So if he's not starting the Chicago game or just
he's not starting,
general?
Period. If Cutter and the powers that be at One Buck Palace say, you know, we're going to run with Fitz whenever, till Thanksgiving, what have you, that Jameis and his agent, mostly Jameis's agent, because this is screwing with Jameis and his contract leverage and perhaps his future. And Beckel said, he goes, if I was Jameis's agent, I'd be demanding a trade right now. He said, yeah, either I'm starting or I'm not. Nothing against Fitz, nothing against you guys, but you're ruining my leverage. You're ruining my reputation. You ruined my potentially my future earnings. And Beckel said, I'd be asking for a trade.
Steve, one of the dynamics in this situation, and people don't want to acknowledge it, is this ain't Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger, you know, out for 3 weeks with a busted, ankle, and then they're going to get the job back, no questions asked. This is Winston. He's 18 and 27. So we have to acknowledge that. At the same time, you got that contract issue. So that's what makes it very complicated. Remember there was a movie, I think, with Nicholson and it might have been Meryl Streep or something. It's complicated. This thing is complicated.
I never heard of it.
This thing is complicated. I think Bette Midler made a cameo appearance. This is complicated, Steve. As it goes on, you got to find out about Jameis Winston as it goes on.
I know you keep saying that. I think I don't know what you need to find out, really. They sort of know what they have. They've evaluated the guy for years already.
He looked like a different quarterback in the preseason.
Well,
Steve,
but here's stop with the preseasons. That drives me nuts for all these fans. He's playing with the second team in the preseason. It means nothing. I'm sorry. It means nothing.
With the worst offensive line. The same offensive line that evidently wasn't good enough for Robert Jones.
When Ryan Griffin runs out there and plays well in the preseason, I don't care. I just the preseason stuff drives me nuts. But I'm sorry, Ira. It's late.
No. It's late. It's late.
Hey,
well, I got another one for Ira. Right,
let me throw. Yeah. Let me throw this out because again, it's about what Dirk Cutter thinks. That's the critical thing here. And I put this out on Twitter. I'd mentioned it on my podcast. And you know, Ira, the last time the Bucs made the playoffs, they did it with a 37-year-old quarterback who arrived here. He arrived with a losing record as a starter in his career. And you know what? Marches him to a 9-5 record, and they clinch with 2 weeks to go. And the next year, he's 9-3. And it was the defense that failed him. And he was 38 years old. And I just think Cutter is in that mold of conservative. You know, he doesn't call any trick plays. He doesn't do certain things.
He does not.
He loves his veterans. He loves his guys. And Fitz is his guy. And he wants his job security. And
maybe he's lost a little faith in Winston.
And maybe he's lost a little faith. I don't know. But you know what? The Bucs also don't have a running game right now. And you're going to put Jameis Winston in there with no running game and say, let's go, light it up, pinball machine. I think Cutter's scared.
When did Jameis ever have a running game outside of his rookie year?
You know. We're
he didn't.
Thank you.
Steve, but they still kept running it though. and they lost a lot.
We're still seeing the Buck weapons show up, even tonight. The Buck weapons, the Godwins, mm-hmm. the Evans. Brait made a contribution. Howard, Godwin's unbelievable. We didn't see that last year. And I think as long as we keep seeing that, you know, this was not a flat offensive performance. It was a mistake-prone offensive performance.
Sloppy.
So I'm kind of with Steve. I'm shading towards Fitzpatrick for Chicago. I wouldn't be shocked, but I'd be surprised if they go with Winston.
Now, I know you like intrigue, and you know a lot of people in the NFL, a lot of people. Have you ever dealt with Joel Siegel?
Joel Siegel used to be on Good Morning America. He was a film critic.
Why was I thinking that? You want to go there?
Stevie teed me up for that.
Hey, you had that mustache for a while.
Forget about that.
Oh, well, what was the guy before him? The guy with the hair and the mustache.
Oh, there's Gene Shalit.
Gene Shalit, yeah.
Next is Uncle Weatherby. He used to do the weather over there.
The original Ronald McDonald.
But you're talking about Agent Joel Siegel.
Yeah. Have you ever dealt with him?
No. I try not to deal with agents.
You're a smart man because you get used, basically. Do you know that's who James picked as agent? I don't know if you know this or not. I did some research on a guy. Just, you know, who he represents. He represented, and I guess still does, I don't know, but represented Michael Vick.
Ah.
Now, notice he rehabbed Michael Vick's image to the point where you don't even hear about the dog tortures and the dog fights. That's like history, past history. You don't hear that anymore.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very interesting what he did with Vic. And I'm going to say this. A commenter brought this up. You know, there's Jameis has, and Jameis has brought it on himself, but he's got some hysterical, when I say hysterical, I'm not talking about funny. I'm just talking about bananas, emotionally cracked people. And one of them was going off on Winston. You know, this is the best thing ever happened to the Bucks. Winston's going to get benched. I'm like, whoa, hold up. So winning the Super Bowl wasn't good enough for you? Best thing that ever happened in his franchise? That's number one. Number two, you do know that the Bucks had a running back that ran for 125 yards, was a known wife beater. Known wife beater. That's okay, I guess. You know, no one ever thinks about that with Michael Pittman. I always got along with Michael Pittman. Doesn't mean I approve of what he did. Hell no. But it's like, Vic, you forget about his dogfighting ways. Roethlisberger, it's like you don't even remember that stuff. Kobe Bryant goes to the blankety-blank Emmys, and he's lauded like some kind of savior. And look at his past history with women. And Jameis is supposed to be Lucifer himself.
Steve, give
me a break. Steve,
are we going to end this award-winning podcast with wife-beating and dog-snatching? What's going on around here?
I'm not sure Kobe was guilty with that whole. That whole case fascinated me at the time, but I totally agree with what Lee's saying. But and then it's an important point.
I would like to know by our next podcast who's starting on the center in Chicago. I would like to know.
Hopefully we'll know. Yeah. And I don't know. Who knows? But Sage, Lee's point is important as it relates to this next thing. When Jameis was suspended, the NFL, of course, that letter detailing what he did or what they had, that typical letter was never released. But we did find out from the NFL that Jameis had conditions attached to his suspension, that he had to go through what was assumed to be some sort of
counseling,
therapy, or meet some terms. And otherwise, if he didn't do these things, he could be suspended the full six games. We haven't heard anything, maybe we will, that he's completed all these terms and there's no chance he can get suspended anymore for that incident. But I don't know if we're going to get that answer. My gut says when Dirk Cutter's asked this question, he's going to be like, oh, that's not my thing. I don't know.
Not my pay scale.
It's above my pay grade. And Jameis isn't going to talk about it. So is the NFL going to come out and say, Jameis completed everything. There's no chance of a six-game suspension. I think that's a factor here because somebody knows the truth. And if he's completed everything, why wouldn't they just come out and say, Jameis is in the clear on the suspension is behind him. Usually
you never hear about these things once the conditions are set. You just never hear about it. It's sort of assumed that he's checked off all the boxes and now he's eligible. I wonder if Jameis will talk about it. You know, Jameis has to talk this week. I think he's got to talk.
Not if he's not starting. They don't have to roll him out there.
I want him at his locker. Burrow in like a mollusk.
So talk to him at his locker hour. But no, he meant, I don't think he'll go to a podium if he's not the starter.
No, I didn't say the podium.
I don't know. Do you think that's a factor, guys, in any of this that we don't know yet whether he's completed all the terms of everything?
A factor only in it to solve the mystery, or a fact? I agree with you. We'd like to know if he's all in the clear, if he's met all the obligations that he signed off on. But a factor in what way? Is it affect his starting position?
I don't know. Cutter's decision, Team Glazer's thoughts on the matter?
Would he be foolish enough not to follow the stipulations of the agreement?
If he's that foolish, then Fitzpatrick's your quarterback.
Well, we don't know what the stipulations are, Iris. So it might have people taking calls.
He agreed to them.
I know, but we don't know how long they go. Maybe it was for a year. I don't know. I might have.
I'll tell you more when I talk to him at his locker.
All right. When you corner him at his locker, Sage. Now, in this game, Ira, let me hit on a couple of positives. So
he won't let me go home and go to sleep over there. It's
after two. You're a busy man, Sage. All right, look.
I'm going to add another 10 takeaways. Now you'll have 20 takeaways.
I didn't even read them yet. I don't know what you're taking away. Hey, Jason Pierre-Paul, 3 sacks, 3 games, 5 solo tackles, strip of Roethlisberger. Those bounces didn't go the Bucs' way tonight with Godwin, with the strip of Roethlisberger that they couldn't recover. And, you know, that was an issue. But JPP, hey, he's breaking through. He's on pace for 16 sacks,
I thought he played well against Philly, and he was a factor again tonight. And he wasn't 100% Orleans, and yeah. I'm not sure he's 100% now, but he's a warrior.
Yeah.
He's a warrior. I got no quarrels with him.
All right. Well,
what about that near sack of Gerald McCoy? I think it was Pittsburgh's last possession.
Big drive. McCoy whiffed on, on Big Ben. He did not make the big play for the big-time Pro Bowl guy.
Can I bring this up with Ira real quick? I'm not deviating from anything.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about JP or Gerald McCoy, that near sack. I don't know if this is a factor or not, but Ira's always had a bug up his derriere, and he's right, because I noticed this for years too, that the NFL has gotten to the point, and it's been there for a while. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ira, but Ira has said this on various shows, and I had not said the same thing, but it went through my mind many times watching football. It's gotten to the point that when there's an incompletion on a pass, you're looking for a flag. And how many flags were there tonight? Hits on the quarterback. You know, Cutter admitted in his press conference that the referees were calling it tight and they had to adjust. But is football turning into that too? That if you hit the quarterback, you're looking for the flag?
It's a national issue right now. I mean, some people think they've gone overboard, Steve, the other way with safety. I mean, it's a fine line. And you know what? When too many guys are completing 70% of balls, and by the way, I want to throw this out right now, Mr. Isbitz. Through 3 weeks, with all the relaxed rules, I understand completion percentage is up all over the joint. Mahomes is going crazy. We understand that. Fitzpatrick's going crazy. But darn it, Steve, 78% completion percentage. What are you doing?
Mike Smith.
What are you doing with this defense? That is absurd.
Well, here,
that's crazy.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Ira, because I wrote something about
78%.
That. 78%. It was 78% tonight. It was also 78% for the season that they are allowing.
You got the stats on the back sheet there.
Yeah, that was tonight, but they're also averaging that for the season, and it's worse than the league. It's worse than Lovey, who was worse than the league when he was here 2 years in a row.
And we kill Lovey for being soft.
And so here we go, right? We have a better pass rush.
Yes.
We've got 2 Pro Bowl-like linebackers who are out there when
it's a strong front 7.
When it's in a nickel package, they're out there in pass coverage. And Dirk Cutter's out there today lauding Carlton Davis for his coverage. So we got a better pass rush. We got Pro Bowl linebackers. We got guys who are improving in coverage, and we're still allowing 78%?
Lee, I'm telling you what. If Mr. Trubisky dissects this pass defense, we got problems.
Yes, because Trubisky is way
overrated.
He's
got no weapons. Who's Trubisky?
Who's Trubisky?
Who's Trubisky?
I heard some show on NFL radio. I think it was NFL radio. They were like, you know, this guy's nothing. I mean,
I don't want any 12-yard cushions against the Chicago Bears.
If that guy lights up Mike Smith's defense for 78% or worse, someone's got to. I mean, this has been going on for 3 years now. Someone, and I love Mike Smith to death, great guy, but gosh darn it, He's got to have his feet held to the fire. I'm sorry.
Ira, I wanted to bring this up because it sort of plays in reverse and to the positive, right? So we're sort of saying that Mike Smith's disastrous percentage of allowing opposing quarterbacks, it's no coincidence. Well, we can all agree that it's not a coincidence. I don't care what the Bucs try to spin. It's no coincidence. But what's also not a coincidence, Ira, is you were talking a lot this week about the Buccaneers' amazing average per completion.
Average per attempt. Average per attempt.
13, yeah. Is it?
It was 13. Now I think it's 11.
That was per attempt?
Per attempt. Okay. Now I think it's 11. Yeah.
Which is still extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
Extraordinary. They keep that going. That's no fluke. So the weapons are there. Cutter was talking today after the game about he wanted to see the wide receivers attack more and be more aggressive. And they did that later in the game, but not early. That, to me, that was a little bit of a tip-off that Cutter wants to see an aerial show every game. That's their plan at this point, to just go to all these guys and do their best. I don't know what's going on with this team, but I have to ask you, Sage, because you are the Sage, and we'll leave it on this note. We have a lot to talk about this week. But look, Le'Veon Bell's out there. There's chatter out there. We can sort of see how Le'Veon Bell would balance out this offense in many ways. He might be the only missing piece to this high-flying offense. What are your thoughts?
Well, first, it depends on the price, Lee. Two, can you sign him long-term? Does he want to sign long-term?
Well, let's pretend it's just a one-year rental, because you're not going to know till the end of the year. So if Le'Veon Bell's out there and...
He's a fabulous talent, Lee. He's a fabulous talent. You know, and what he's famous for is...
Riding jet skis?
he hesitates at the line of scrimmage, and you don't like that normally. If the guy is a normal runner, he's not a normal runner. He hesitates. He lets the play develop, and then he scoots. And he's been so and a tremendous pass receiver. I mean, the guy's fabulous. He's fabulous. If he's not the best running back, he's number two to Gurley. He's right there. If it's only going to be a one-year deal and I can get him for the right price, I mean, with all due respect to Peyton Barber, this would be without question the best offense in football. It's got to be the best offense in football. If you add Le'Veon Bell to those targets over there, you know, if the Kemper's throwing the ball, it might be 9 yards, 9 yards an attempt. You know, I'm not thrilled with his attitude. I'm not. I think at some point you got to think about your teammates, the guys who are blocking for you. I thought it was very telling that some of the offensive linemen spoke out against Le'Veon Bell.
Bouncy.
That doesn't happen, Steve. Normally, that the omerta, you don't say anything.
Omerta.
You know who always says that? You know who always says that? Gruden's agent, Bob Lamont.
Omerta?
Yeah. When I finish talking to him, every time I finish talking to him, he goes, Ira, remember, omerta. He means he doesn't want to be quoted. Everything off the record. So, Steve, you're throwing up that Le'Veon Bell. I don't think it'll happen, but it's intriguing.
What I'm asking is, if you're Jason Light, and you can, let's say, sign Le'Veon Bell after the bye, and you got to pay his remainder of his salary, whatever, and you can, you know, $8-9 million or something for the rest of the year. Do you do it? If it's out there, what's the price? What's the right price?
I'm probably not doing it, Lee. Because
all right, there you go.
I'm probably not doing it because scoring points is not my problem. Scoring points is not my problem. Now, if Le'Veon Bell can go cover Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, I might be interested. Straighten out this defense, Steve, and you got to. A darn good football
team. I don't even know in this defense if Jalen Ramsey would make a difference. I mean, it's
heck of a player.
He's a heck of a player, but they loaded up all these upgrades. They have a pass rush now. As Steve said, you got two good linebackers, Pro Bowlers. They added all these guys in the secondary. It's 78%.
Steve, you know what might have to be done during the bye week?
Bye-bye, Mike Smith.
Might have to change the scheme, a la 2016. They made some changes. Defense looked a lot different during that five-game winning streak. Defense played outstanding for most of those 5 weeks. We remember the game against Drew Brees here. They made Russell Wilson look like a clown here. And, you know, if this keeps up, Trubisky, they're going to have to do something during the bye week.
Well, I don't even want to think of it if Trubisky does, man.
Well, they've got a lot to build on, at least in the second half, shutting out the Steelers. That's an amazing accomplishment. And, you know, it wasn't pretty, though, at the end where they couldn't stop the run and the first downs or whatever.
By the way, the Bears have they got a hell of a defense. Bears got a real good defense.
Hey, look, right now they've got the defensive MVP, and they were good defense last year. It's going to be a very tough road.
And they run the ball.
They got some, you know, everything with their quarterback. By the way, what would you think of Chucky last week saying, it's awful hard to find defensive end?
Chucky's got to stop. He's making some crazy statements. You got to stop that. He's getting pilloried out there. They've had 3 fourth-quarter leads. You know, the old Lee line, hey, Winston's got him the lead in the fourth quarter. The defense blows it. Well, that's what's going on right now in Oakland.
Yeah, they had a lead at Denver, didn't they?
Go out and beat Chicago, Steve, and we're not having this kind of talk.
All right, Sage. We'll talk more about the Bucs' failures in the red zone next time, and we will look for you on the next episode of Tampa 2, which should be popping late Wednesday or Thursday.
And try to get those 10 takeaways done before sunup over there, Steven.
They'll be up tonight, Sage. Get out of here.